I'd like to start this message today by asking you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah chapter 38. Jeremiah chapter 38. So here in the book of Jeremiah 38 is taking place at a time of Jeremiah's prophecies when he is with the last king of Judah before the complete invasion of Babylon. Now, this was something that had been prophesied by Jeremiah. It was something that was coming. God had already spoke about his judgment on Judah. You might even recall when Josiah had found the book of the law and he wanted to turn back to God. He asked God the question, is all this harm going to come on Judah? And God's answer was, yes, it is, but not in your time because of your heart toward me. And there was no one like Josiah who totally turned to God and gave his whole heart. No king like him before or after. He even tore down the things that Solomon had built in his time. So all those years they had lasted, Josiah was so dedicated in wanting to do what God said. But it comes to this time in the time of Zedekiah as Babylon is encroaching, they're coming against Jerusalem. And I want you to notice some verses here with me in Jeremiah chapter 38. And we're going to pick it up here in verse 14. So Zedekiah the king sent and had Jeremiah the prophet brought to him at the third entrance of the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, I will ask you something, hide nothing from me. Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, if I declare to you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you advice, you will not listen to me. So Zedekiah the king swore secretly to Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord lives, who made our very souls, I will not put you to death, nor will I give you into the hand of these men who seek your life. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you surely surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then your soul shall live. This city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. Now that had to be a really hard thing for a king to hear, right? Basically, you're going to stop fighting. Basically, the Lord is saying, if you stop fighting, it's going to go good. But I mean, just think of what that would be like if we were being invaded by a foreign land, a foreign country coming into the United States. And the word from the prophet is, you need to surrender to them. I've already ordained this. This is the way it's going to be. It would be a really difficult thing, wouldn't it? To say as a king, to say as a government, to say as a people, the best thing to do right now is we need to surrender. But this was what the word of the Lord was. This was what God was speaking. And so he says, if you do not surrender, and then in verse 18 here, but if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then the city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans. They shall burn it with fire. You shall not escape from their hand. And Zedekiah the king said to Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews who have defected to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they abuse me. In other words, what will they do if I do this? And notice what Jeremiah says. They shall not deliver you. Please obey the voice of the Lord, which I speak to you, so it shall be well with you and your soul shall live. Now that is really the text that I want us to focus on here today. Please, please obey the voice of the Lord, which I speak to you, so it shall be well with you and your soul shall live. To obey the voice of the Lord, to obey what God is speaking, to obey what God is saying, to honor Him in our lives by saying, the Lord, you are God, and what you speak, I want to follow. What you say, I want to do. You see, this was the challenge that came to Zedekiah, and I can just tell you, it didn't go well. Because while he heard the word, he wanted to hear it. What did Jeremiah say? You're going to hear, you're not going to do it. And he didn't. And his children were put down, and Jerusalem was conquered. God said surrender, but it went against what Zedekiah was thinking. And the reality of our relationship with God is that it is more than just a theoretical practice of saying we have a certain set of doctrine, we have a certain set of beliefs that we come to understand from the written word, but it is also allowing God to speak with us, to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, that he would share his word with us, that we would do it. You see, this is the voice of God. All scripture has been inspired by God or God breathed. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God would be thoroughly equipped for every good work, complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work, as it says in 2 Timothy 3. This word is from God. But also God will give us direction. And as we go through the book, it is not just to know what did happen, but what can happen and what does happen. See, if you say, well, I believe in Abraham. Abraham was a man who started this off. Turn with me back to the book of Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18. Notice this. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18, the father of the faithful. Notice what God says to him here. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18, it says, in your seed, all nations of the earth shall be blessed. Why, God? Because you obeyed my voice. Because you obeyed my voice. Obeying the voice of the Lord. Turn with me over to Exodus 19 and verse 5. I want you to see something here about the way God is speaking to his children, the children of Israel. Notice here in Exodus 19 verse 5, it says this. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Obeying the voice of the Lord. Are you seeking to hear from God? Are you seeking to follow what God has for you in your life? Specifically, what he has for you. See, I know that in many ways that you have been. Even the fact that you're here is kind of an amazing thing. I want us just to stop and think a moment, and I want you to know something about this place and which you're sitting. Because you're at Rock Valley Christian Church today. If you didn't know that, you're here. And well, how did you get to be here? This church started because of a direction from God. I was living out here in California, and God had told me I was going to go to California. In fact, it was kind of neat. Last night, I pulled out my journal from the 1990s, and I was reading some of the things back then. And I was to come to California, but I thought I was coming here for a specific reason. And I was teaching on the radio, and I thought that's what I was going to do. I was going to be a radio preacher. And for 3 years, God provided all the funding. He gave the invitation. I was on Cape Breton, Orange County. They're like, you know, you're getting really good response. This is really good. I was having people contact us and even come to the office where I was working to talk to me about things that I was teaching on the radio. And at the end of it, they said, hey, we'd like to have you come on board. You know, how about we do another contract? And I had the funding. The funding was already available. But there was one thing that was necessary, and that was I needed to pray. And when I asked God, I'm like, well, it's going well. They want me back. The money's here. And the answer was no. That wasn't what I thought the answer was going to be. But that wasn't the only part of the answer. The answer was, no, you're done. You're now going to minister face to face. You're going to start a church. I didn't really want that. I mean, as much as I love you guys, I wasn't really looking for that. It's very easy when you teach to a microphone because you don't have to worry about anything. You just speak the word of God and it's very simple. It goes out and it just kind of happens, and where it falls, it falls. But that wasn't what God wanted, because the command was to start a church. And I realize now what he wanted me to help do was make disciples. It's more than just teaching. It's to work with people. It's to be alongside people. It's to engage together. And that's what we do together. It's not just about David, but it's about what we do together to engage in making disciples, to be encouragers and helpers of one another, that we would all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is what we should all be doing. We're either coming here and receiving what we need to do that, but also to give to one another what God wants. But when I started, I said, okay, God, this is it. And I'll tell you what, it was not very easy to start it. In fact, one of the people I very much love and respect came and said, what are you doing? Don't you understand? The church in America is dying. It's going to be a failure. You're going to be a failure in this. And sitting across the room with somebody you love and respect and them telling you this, it's not a great way to start off. Like, if my friends are against me, like, who's going to show up here, right? And yet, I didn't feel daunted in it because I knew that even if it was a failure, if I was doing what God wanted me to do, it couldn't be a failure. Maybe it came to nothing, no problem. But I knew that if I was hearing from the Lord, that was what I was supposed to do. Now, when we started, it took a long time for us to even add families to this church. But I'll tell you what, I didn't have a dream for a building. That was not part of my vision. It was not part of my vision to have a property at all. It was just to serve people. I enjoyed the fact that God gave us a place right in the beginning of the ministry to meet. And we had meeting places. And then when that place kind of went away, we had another place to meet. And we always had a place to come to worship God and to praise Him and to teach the Word and to hear it. God always provided that place. And when we started looking for this place, I wasn't the driver of looking for a property and a building. We wanted it, but we didn't. And every place we had made offers on were a lot smaller than this place. There was a place over here on Ivy Street. There was a place on Jefferson. We looked at another place down in Jefferson. We were looking for places, but guess what? They were all like 20%, 25% of what this was costing. In fact, at the time, it was even much less than that. This place was expensive. And here's what I knew. I didn't want to put a church into debt. I personally didn't want to sign my name on a line to go into debt. And just as we were coming to look at this place for the third time in a series of looking at it where they kind of came to us, we said no, came to us again, said no, came to it the third time, I was in the backyard of my house and I said, God, what are we doing? We can't afford this place. God, please, we can't put the church into debt. Please, I don't want to go into debt. What are we even doing here? It seemed too much. 8 acres of property. So what are we thinking? That was where my heart was. But this church, the people in this church fasted and prayed, and we came here where the carpet was green and the pews were red and the walls were perfectly white. It felt like you were in a doctor's office. Maybe it is still today a doctor's office. So we came to this place and we asked to hear from God. We specifically said we've been fasting and praying with one goal in mind. There's one thing we need for God to speak. Three people said they heard from the Lord. I was one of them. And I was happy that the second one was Scott. That God spoke to Scott and God spoke to me. And God told Scott that we should get all of it because this was two parcels, 4 acres and 4 acres. But the whole thing, 8. But God spoke something very clearly to me that I needed to hear, which was, go ahead and get it. You'll have it paid off within 3 years. That was very important to me because we didn't have the money for this place. There was going to have to be a tremendous blessing. We had to rely on God to do something He had not yet done to provide in a way that we could not yet foresee in order for this place to be paid and to not put the people that attend this church into any debt. So, confident in the word that I heard, I did it. We did it. We signed on the line, and we didn't put this church on the line. We put us on the line. And God paid it off in 2 years and 5 months. Because He's God, and He does what He wants to do. And when He says He's going to do something, He does it, and He is faithful, and His promises are sure. So this church got started because God said, start this church. This building got purchased because He said, go ahead and do this. We're going to get this and it's going to be paid off. And He did what He said. And the thing is in life that when we hear the voice of God, we have choices to make. I wish I could stand up here and tell you that every time I've heard the voice of the Lord, I've said yes. I wish I could stand up here and say, every time God has said to do something, that I did it perfectly. I stood up here on this stage years ago, and I was giving a sermon on deliverance. And as I'm finishing the sermon, I feel a super strong anointing come on me that God is going to deliver those who need to be delivered. And I called people up, and people responded, and people came and stood right up front here for deliverance. And I got down here, and I was putting my hand up to deliver the first person. And somebody that I believed was my friend came up and just pulled me aside and said, wait, don't do that. Let's worship first and then pray. And I look back at that moment and I'm like, why did I listen? Why did I listen? Was it because I just wanted to go along with what a friend was asking me to do? The interruption that came? Because what I had done was I was listening to God, and God was saying, this is what I want to do. And at that moment, as soon as I said, okay, and I turned to start worshiping, all the anointing that was on me left. God, forgive me. And I will tell you, that is such... it is still such a dart because it was right there and I could have helped, but I didn't listen. I gave my attention to another person who distracted me, and I am responsible. I was the one who sinned. I was the one who did wrong. And the thing is, in life, when the voice of God comes, you've got to obey. You don't know when and where it'll come. You know, I think back to the first times I heard from the Lord. I wasn't even seeking. I was seeking Him, but I wasn't seeking to hear from Him. The first time I was ever given a message by God, I was driving home from the airport when I still lived in Illinois. I'm driving home and I got worship music on. I'm praising God. I'm just loving on Him. Worshiping, praising. And then it was like, turn that down. So I turned it down, and God said, something has happened, and you're going to find out what it is when you get home. But the message is, it's all going to be okay. Now, that's kind of unsettling, and of course, I spent the rest of the drive like, what is it, God? What's going on? Something's going to happen. Something has happened, and you're going to find out about it. Well, get home. Click the thing for the garage door. The door goes up. I start pulling into the garage. And yep, here comes Stephanie right outside of the garage as I'm pulling in. And get the car pulled in. Open the car door. I'm standing at the car door. She's standing outside. And she says, you need to call your sister. Turned out that Rod and Maria's daughter had a hole in her heart. And I just said to Stephanie, I know. And it's all going to be okay. And I got to call my sister right away. As soon as I went in the house, I called my sister. And I told her, I was driving home. And God said, something bad has happened. Something has happened in the family. And you are going to all be okay. It's all going to be okay. And she still is okay, right, Ron? She still is okay. That was in 1995. Hallelujah. Now, when I talk about obeying the voice of the Lord, there's some of you in here that have heard the voice of the Lord. There's some of you that want to hear the voice of the Lord. There's some of you that are totally scared when somebody says about hearing voices. I was at a church service down in Texas, and they're like, well, you wouldn't really tell somebody that you heard the voice of the Lord, would you? Like, you don't want people to know that about you, like, you're hearing voices, David? And I said, you know, Rock Valley kind of started because I heard the voice of the Lord. That's why I did it. Now, I don't hear an audible voice. When I say I hear the voice of the Lord, I don't hear any audible voice. What I've come to know now since hearing things in 95 is that when God wants to speak, He just tells me things. And a lot of times He tells me things that I just don't know. that I couldn't understand. But he did it in a way that made so much sense. When I really came to know the Lord and I came to know Jesus Christ, it was actually after that in 95. I was on my way, but I was seeking but not finding. It really wasn't until later in 1998 when I really came to understand this, what I'm telling you about today. And I was in my car again, just worshiping God, just praising God. Stephanie and I knew we were supposed to go to California. We were on our plan to go. And I'm driving in the car from Chicago area to Detroit. And as I'm worshiping, I'm just enjoying God's creation. I'm looking how beautiful the sky is and the clouds. And he tells me, you're going to get an offer on your house. You're going to get it tomorrow, and it's going to come in at 8:31. That's pretty specific. And I told Stephanie, I said, hey, God spoke to me. We're going to get an offer tomorrow at 8:31. So the next morning, she says, hey, guess what? The agent called. We're getting an offer today. I'm like, I know. And she said, yep, she's going to be here probably around 8, between 8 and 8:30. I said, at 8:31. And she said, well, if she gets here at 8 o'clock, we're not going to wait till 8:31 just so that this can be true. And I'm like, no, it's going to happen. I'm telling you. And so, sure enough, we're waiting around. I'm at my hotel room in Detroit waiting for Stephanie. She's supposed to call me when our agent shows up. The agent picked up the offer but was running late all day, got to our house. They go into a private room because we had guests, and she didn't want to say the offer in front of the guests. And she calls me on the phone, and the agent says, I haven't even looked at it yet because I was so busy today. Stephanie takes it, opens it, looks at the clock, and she says, and by the way, David, it's 8:31. Who can know the future? Who can tell you the things that are to come? God can. He always can. He knows just what happens and when. He even knows the heart so well and what will happen. He told Peter, hey, you're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. See, part of having a comfort with God is understanding that this is not theoretical. We're not here to go through a process of having doctrine and beliefs and practices based on the written word without an understanding that the written word reveals that whether it was to Abraham or to Isaac or to Jacob or to Samuel or to David or to Moses or to Elijah or to Elisha, and go on and on and on and on of all the men we read about. Generally speaking, what were they hearing? The men and women of God heard the voice of God and were directed by God at times and in places for signs and seasons to know and understand, to give a deliverance like Jeremiah did, which said, surrender! Please obey the voice of the Lord. Surrender. This is the way to life for you. If you fight them, your whole household's going to be destroyed. And Zedekiah's household was put to death. And he himself was dragged away just as Jeremiah said he would be. And his eyes put out. Because he didn't listen. Sometimes the word of God goes so against what we want or what we think. And sometimes the word of God comes in ways that it's different at different times and in different ways for different people. And that's okay. But are you seeking to even know and understand what the Lord's will is for you in your life? Because Jesus, when he was walking on the earth, he said, I do nothing of my own self. As I see my Father doing, that's what I do. I speak nothing, but what I hear, that I speak. He was so engaged with God the Father. He was looking for the will and direction to know what to do. And part of our lives is to say, I want more than just a theory of what this is. We can say we believe in Abraham. Well, God spoke to him. Do you believe that? Do you believe God spoke to David? Do you believe God spoke to Samuel? Do you believe he spoke to Elijah and Elisha? Do you believe he spoke to the Apostle Paul? Do you believe he spoke to Peter? Do you believe what you read? This isn't just to know what happened to them. It's to know what's happening among us as the Lord God moves in our lives. Some of you say, well, I've never heard the voice of the Lord. No problem. But are you open to it if he did speak? Are you even willing to say, what I read about them can also be true of what happens to me? And then, would you be willing to obey it when he speaks? God is looking for those who will seek after him and follow him, who will listen to him and do what he says. He wants to reveal more of himself to us all the time. It's not a matter of trying to make it happen. It's a matter of saying, whatever you want, I want. Now, if you've never heard the voice of God, I want to share with you just some things that I've found over my years of hearing from him, how to learn to hear from him. One is, you've got to believe you can. If you don't believe that you can hear from God, I'm not saying that it can't happen, because I believe it does too. But believing that you can is a great place to start. Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. If you're not even thinking that God could ever talk to you and direct you in your life, it's not going to be something that you're seeking out or listening for. But yet this is, to me, the most important thing. Hearing the voice of God is the most important thing. Because when we hear from God, we can know what to do. And when we know what to do, we can go the right way. I so wish I would have listened to God when I didn't that day. It would have made a difference. But I didn't. I can't go back, but I can go forward. So I repent. I go forward. I say, I want to hear. I believe. Next, humble yourself to seek him. Whether it's in prayer, fasting, Bible study, meditation, look to him and know that he gave a promise, which is point number three, rely on his promises. Do you know that he says that if you seek him, you will find him? Do you know that it says that if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you? You can be as close to God as you want to be. See, to us, it's like God is laying out there. You want me? Come find me. Here I am. Seek me and you will find me. But he said, but if you forsake me, I'll forsake you. Seek me and you'll find me. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Number four, repent. The closer I draw to God, the more I need to repent. Repent from anything that prevents you from coming near to God. Repent from any sin, any pride, any lust, anything that gets in the way of having that communication with God. So the next one is, seek to obey. One of the first things after God told me about the timing of the sale of my house, it was a setup. The whole thing was a setup. He wanted me to know his voice because 2 days later he told me to go to Argentina. It was a setup. Because I was rejoicing that he did what he said he was going to do. I was rejoicing that he revealed something to me. I was rejoicing that I had understood what the difference was between the voice in my own head and the voice of God. And then he tells me to go to a place I literally am terrified to go. I was reading last night in my journal. It's like, I really don't want to go anywhere where I can't speak the language. And I was afraid. Gave it to me to be afraid. In fact, when I heard, I asked for a confirmation. In fact, I asked for a confirmation 7 times. You got to make sure this one's true. I didn't want to go. Now, I'm not going to get into it today, but I did obey against my own reason, logic, and fear because I didn't want to go. And sometimes one of the ways to know that you're hearing from God is, it's like, I would never come up with that one. I would never tell me to go there. That's not my direction. And when I went down there, you can ask my wife for testimony, because I told her so many times, I have no desire to go to any country where they don't speak English. God totally got me. Because if I was hearing his voice, and I know what happened in the sale of my house, and then I hear from him again, and he says, I want you to go to Argentina. You're going to go to Buenos Aires. You're going to meet a man named Pastor Hector, and he's going to bless you. I had to go. And that week, it's still one of the most wild weeks of my life. I saw God work in ways that I had only known in theory to that moment. I saw his healing. I saw his power. I saw prophecy. I saw words of knowledge. I saw the things that I read about in the book. The things that I knew theoretically, I saw in practice for 7 days. It was really cool. It was amazing to watch God work in people's lives, and I was just along for a ride, and I got to go on the ride because I heard and I acted. That's it. I wanted to obey. I obeyed against my own self. I obeyed against my own fear. Because if we're going to do this, we got to be all in. There's no good in being a disciple if you're not all in. He who seeks to save his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. It's every day. What is it going to be today? Do I sometimes get a little freaked out? Yes. Like, God, can we not do an Argentina thing again? Yeah, I've prayed that prayer like 1,000 times. Because I don't want to do things that I'm scared to do. But sometimes you got to do it. The next is to worship him. I already told you that the first times I can remember, I wasn't seeking to hear anything from God. I just wanted to praise him. And the last one, point number 7 that I'm going to give you is ask and listen. Yesterday, I didn't know what I was going to talk on till I asked and listened. What are you going to speak on today? What do you want the topic to be here today? Why is this? Because if I can encourage you to know that the things that you read about in the Bible aren't just theoretical, and they're not just things that happened to people in the past, but they're things that you can experience with God in relationship today. Maybe if I can share some things of my life, how God has led me, maybe that'll encourage you to keep pressing forward to realize God can lead you deeper, more profoundly, to give you a word of knowledge when you need to pray for somebody, to give you insight of where you can change and repent in life, to see what God wills and wants for your life, that it would actually be a living relationship as opposed to a theoretical document. See, this Bible goes from a written word to a living word by the power of the Spirit and the faith that we have to know that it comes alive. God is alive and God is wanting to share life with us. The devil, he quotes this word too. The devil knows this word. He quoted it to Jesus. He didn't quote it rightly. And we can get deceived if we aren't relying on the Holy Spirit to lead us into truth. It's more than just knowing what it says. It's knowing it in truth. It's having an understanding. Where does that come from? It comes from the voice of God. It comes from the anointing of the Holy Spirit. What did John write? He said, you have no need that anybody teach you. You've received an anointing from the Holy Spirit. So what is it that we do? We're sharing what the Holy Spirit is teaching us with one another, that we encourage one another in faith to come. But know that there is a God who gives direction and can lead you in the way to go, can give you a word of prophecy, can give you a word of unction that you may speak forward. Now, does that scare you to think about that in your life? I know for some of you right now, I can see it. I know it's a little scary because you're wondering, what is this? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's about a relationship. My prayer for 25 years has been, God, will you just let me sit in your courts? God, will you just let me hear what you say? What do you think? What do you think of Juan? What do you think of Linda? You see, the thing is that God can give you a perspective to pray for a brother or a sister that you just don't have. See, we don't always know how to pray as we ought, Romans 8. But what happens? The Spirit makes intercession according to the will of God. You don't know when and where it's going to be. But are you ready to obey when it comes? I love that verse that we read in Jeremiah 38. Please, please, please obey the voice of the Lord. Please obey the voice of the Lord. It is so good. A couple of years ago, we were at the Feast of Tabernacles down in Carlsbad, and I go to a prayer meeting. Eric Hartle is leading a prayer meeting. And I was sitting there, and the prayer meeting's going on, praying for different people. And honestly, I just wasn't feeling it at all. I wasn't connecting. I was like, God, what's wrong with me? I don't know if I was just tired because I had given a sermon that day. A lot of times after sermons, I feel very poured out and I just feel like I just don't have the same energy. And I'm sitting in that prayer meeting and Stephanie's in there and we're sitting together and I see Denise stand up to go up for prayer. In fact, Denise, can you come here? So we're sitting in the prayer meeting. Denise walks up and I'm looking at her. And God says, go pray for her. I'm going to heal her. I had nothing before that moment. Was I in any condition to pray for anybody? I was like, I'm not where I need to be right now, Lord. I'm not sensing a great power or anointing to even get up and pray for anybody. And I hear that word. And that's it. I go up and I say, maybe what my wife recalls, and God was working with me on this at the time, was, pray the shortest prayer I ever prayed. I just asked him and asked God to heal her. That was it. Father, heal her. In Jesus' name, be healed. That was it. Do you want to tell why you went up there and what happened to you?
Well, I had gone up there because I had suffered a heart attack, widowmaker, which 99% of people have those die on the spot. I didn't die, but I felt like I was half dead. I couldn't walk more than 20 feet without arteries all closed up, a portion of my heart, a quarter of my heart, dead tissue. And I wasn't even going to go to the feast that year because I couldn't get around. And you know, we have to walk a long ways to the seminars and all over the place. A friend of mine said, you can take my electric little scooter, you know. And so I thought, okay, I can do that. And I emailed Stephanie. I said, I know it's really late and I may not get a room, but I'm going and I expect a miracle. And I got on that scooter and I went. And the very first day was Eric's prayer meeting, and I went to the prayer meeting, and he laid hands on me, several of the people there. There wasn't maybe five or six people, and I just felt the power of God, and I really felt that I had been healed. And so I left. Still couldn't walk more than 20 feet, still breathing, you know, couldn't breathe because there's no blood flow. The arteries were closed up. I did get a stent in one, but it only opened it 30%. Everything else is closed up. So next day, same thing, nothing. And then the third day, I couldn't get that scooter out the hotel room door in time to get to the meeting. There was no one there to hold the door open, and it's very heavy, and I couldn't get it out. So I said, I'm just going to walk however long it takes me to get there. And I started walking, and I never stopped. I just kept going and going and going. And I'm looking around, and I'm not running out of breath, and I feel completely normal, like before I ever had the heart attack. And I went to the seminar, and I was so excited. After the seminar, I grabbed Hannah. And I said, Hannah, come walk with me. And she goes, Grandma, you can't walk very far. And I said, you just walk with me. And so we started walking around the parking lot, around and around and around. She goes, Grandma, you've had a miracle. I said, yeah, I have. And nothing changed on the inside. All my arteries are still closed. A quarter of my heart is still dead tissue. But I have no symptoms of any kind of heart failure or heart disease or anything. I operate perfectly normal, like even better. Even better than before I had the heart attack. So
praise God.
Praise God.
Yep. Thank you, Denise. How many of you remember that when she showed up to that feast and was trying to walk? I mean, it was just so sad to watch her. I mean, she'd go like basically a couple door lengths down the hallway and that was it. She was toast. And it was just so neat to see God do something like that. But that is what I would wish for every one of you, to be available, to God to take part and just see what he wants to do. See, it's not about anything that's special about me. There is nothing different about me than you. Nothing. That's what I'm trying to communicate to you today. The voice of God comes to those who seek him, who want him. It's about humbling ourselves before and say, I just want to be engaged with you in ministry. And I don't know what God will do with each one of us. And the ministries are different for every person. But knowing that we follow a God who does direct and lead us, and knowing that we believe in men of and women of God who are written in the scripture, who all were hearing the voice of God of what to do, wouldn't it be incumbent upon us to say, well, if that's what we're here to do, that's what we should be doing? See, God said that he would give gifts, and he actually tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, seek spiritual gifts, words of knowledge, words of prophecy, words of wisdom, miracles, gifts of healing, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. There's gifts of administration. There's gifts that are given to each person. Do we accept what the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and 14 about where we should be going and hearing from God in the direction that he gives about what God would have us to do? You see, I played church long enough in my life to come to the point where I was thinking I could be all righteous by doing certain things that I was reading about in the scriptures. But what I was missing was Jesus himself. I know what it is to live without Christ and have the Bible. And I know what it is to live with Christ and have the Bible. And it's much better having Christ. It's much better because the Word comes alive and the realization of what it is. There have been people that I've gotten to witness be healed, people delivered from sins, people delivered from demons, people delivered in many things in life because God chooses to do it. And he's like, hey, I'll let you come observe this. I'll let you be a little part of it. It's like a dad taking his 3-year-old out when they're going to go work on the car. That's about it. I'm like a 3-year-old when I go. I realize I don't have anything to offer. But when your father wants you to be there, you go. And the thing is that God can give so much direction in life about what to do that we need to be willing to make the sacrifices in our lives to go. You don't know what's around the corner. You don't know what's coming. You don't always see the end, but God does. And when God says, go, go. Seek to have him in your life. Seek to know the relationship with God. Seek that when he says, you're going to go to Dallas. That was not my choice. That was not in my plan. Start a school of ministry. Train up men. You're going to go out. They're going to go. Okay, God. You just got to go with it. But men, women, this is not a David thing. This is a God thing. And you have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to direct your steps in the way that you would go. And when we as a group are growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, when we as a group are submitting ourselves and surrendering our lives and our energy and our resources to the will of God, he loves to come in where his kids are. What if I heard the verse quoted today? I only know it in the King James, New King James, so I'm not going to quote it the way it was. But what does God do? The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. That's an invitation. He says, be loyal to me. Come and be loyal to me. I want to show myself strong. Don't you know I want to show myself strong? I want to work with you. You were made by God. You were chosen and appointed before the foundation of the earth, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1, to be God's. What did he want you here for? What did he want you to do? That's the question I want you to ask. What do you want me to do? What did you put me here for? How can I be a blessing to you? How can I be a blessing to others? You see, because that goes beyond the word that's given to every one of us in the book. It's a word that comes when God leads and directs, what do you want? And maybe that's just one thing for one day. Maybe it's a course of action in your life that completely changes. Maybe God knows exactly the best way to raise your kids and do things. It's awesome when you get God involved in that too. I'm not going to out who it was. But one night in bed sleeping, Steph sleeping next to me, and I hear the Lord, "Wake up. Wake up." What? I'm really tired. Wake up. Blank is gone. One of my kids had scooted out of the house in the middle of the night. God woke me up, said, "Blank is gone." I went to that child's room. Blank was gone. I texted Blank. Got no response from Blank. Went back and said, "Steph, wake up, wake up. Blank is gone." She's like, "What, what?" "Yep, Blank's gone." I don't know what kind of trouble Blank was going to get into that night. But Blank was up to no good with somebody that sounded no good, that they didn't even really know from the high school. And they were meeting up to do things that Blank shouldn't have been doing. And the thing is that it all got stopped before it was started. I love God and I want to hear from Him all the time. What I'm sharing with you is a friendship with God is worth more than a friendship with any other person, because He sees everything. He knows everything. He has everyone's best interest at heart. And when God speaks to you, He's doing it because there is good and value going to come from it. It is my heart's desire that all of us would be seeking God, hearing from God, expecting to hear from God, and then obeying the voice of God when it comes to us. Because God wants His kids to be engaged with Him. We've been called out of the world to come into a new relationship. The evangelism of the world is all around us. And with it, it evangelizes every form of greed, and every form of fear, and every form of lust, and every form of selfish pleasure, and every form of everything that it does to keep you distracted from hearing the voice of God. But when we come to God and we worship Him and praise Him and have an expectation that we're not just going through the motions of some religious practice that we think is true, but we're actually coming to God, the living God. God is not limited. And the Israelites, they limited the Holy One of Israel. They didn't go where God wanted them to go or be what God wanted them to be because they were limiting Him. They were not believing, even though they saw signs and wonders, even though they had heard of His greatness. They still weren't. They're watching the manna rain down 6 days, twice on the sixth for the seventh, and they still weren't believing. They weren't believing the God that was right in front of them. God is all around us. God wants to be engaged with us in our lives. This is not a religious practice. It is a relationship we've been invited to, a relationship to grow in. And God is saying, "Come near to me. If you want me, I'm here for you. Come after me. You can have me." He made you because He wants you. The issue isn't on God's side. It's on ours. His arms are open wide. His heart is available to us. Let's seek Him. Let's find Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, holy, righteous God, You who give wisdom and instruction, You who show us the ways, God, we pray that we would hear the calling that Jeremiah gave, that we would please obey Your voice. Father in heaven, forgive us our iniquity and our sins. Forgive us for not even seeking to hear from You. Forgive us for all the ways that we go about making decisions in our lives without counseling with You, without just asking You, what do You want me to do? Father, we don't want to be those children who continually forsake their parents and go off on their own. We want to be the children that continually draw near to You. You have brought us near by the blood of Jesus. And it was You, Lord Jesus, that promised that You would send the Holy Spirit, and that it was to our advantage that You left this earth so that the Holy Spirit would come to guide us into all truth, to testify of You, Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would teach us all things, that the Holy Spirit would bring to remembrance the things You said, that the Holy Spirit would help us to pray when we don't know what to pray, that the Holy Spirit would just give us everything we needed. We ask that you would speak to us, Holy Father. We ask that you would give us understanding, that you would give us words of knowledge and wisdom and prophecy. We ask that you would give us direction. We ask that you would help us to be humble before you and to not be puffed up by anything you give, but always be humble before you, for you are our God and we desire to be your servants. I pray, Father, that you would pour out this blessing, that you would replace hearts of doubt with belief. And I pray that you would give us the wisdom to test every word, whether that which we hear or that which comes from another, that we would test every word. And that, God, we would bring it into captivity to you, that we would surrender to you, that we would acknowledge you and give you the praise that you are worthy of receiving. God, I thank you for the blessings of this church. I thank you that you decided to start it. I thank you that you decided to bring us here, that you brought us to a place where we can hear from you and we can look to you. And we ask, God, that you would just continually pour out your presence. For if we have you, we have everything. And God, we want you always in our lives, leading us and guiding us. We surrender to your will and we look for your counsel. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.